And what's stopping you? What's stopping you? And when we say, what do you mean, what's stopping us? What's keeping us from allowing the gifts of God to be made manifest in our life? What's keeping us from being able to perform the general will of God? Listen, if it's a general will of God, then guess what? God's given you the ability to do it. Come on, if he said, listen, I want everybody, all of my children should be doing this, then God's gifted you, if you will, God's given you the ability to do it. You say, no, I don't have your personality, Pastor, and I don't have their personality, I don't have their abilities. No, listen, if it's the general will of God, then guess what? We've been given the ability by God to accomplish it. We have been. And so, just if you'll look here in the way of introduction, every one of us have been gifted by God and placed into the body for a reason. This is a local church. It's a body of Christ right here. The Bible says that He added unto the body. And we understand this, that God's placed you here for a specific purpose. You've been placed here because God saw something that He needed to use from you to benefit this body. Each of us have a specific function to fulfill. Amen. Every one of us. I have a function to fulfill in this body. You have a function to fulfill in this body. You say, well, what's my function? I don't know what everybody's function is. The one thing I do know is Christ is the head, and we need to find out where we fit. Amen. We need to find out where we fit. We're under the head somewhere, but we're going to be connected to the head. And we need to find out what Christ has us to do in this body. That's including me. I'm not the pseudo head, and Christ is a spiritual head. No, He is the head. I have a function as a part to fulfill in this church. I don't get to take the lead of anyone else, especially of our Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have a part to fulfill, and I need to be actively seeking out, Lord, what is my part to fulfill in this body? I can't accomplish what God has intended for me. I'm sorry, what God has intended for you better than you. Come on. It's become where we've devolved in a lot of churches where they have the 80-20 rule. The 80-20 rule, and that means that 80% of the 80% of the work is going to be done by 20% of the people. I'm telling you, if only 20% of your body parts worked, you'd be in sad shape. Come on, you would be an invalid if only 20% of your body parts worked. I understand with me. God intends for the local body, all right, for the local church to function at 100%. That's what He intends for it to do. And so I might be able to make up your slack, and somebody else might be able to take up where you are deficient and where you're faltering. But listen to me, that does not negate that God has a purpose for you. And I'm not going to give an account for the fact of what you decided not to do. You're going to give an account for that. I'm just here to inform you that, listen, God placed each member in the body as it pleased Him, and He has something for you to do in that body. God has put you here for a particular place of ministry and to minister, amen, in a particular way. God wants to use you to minister in a particular way. It's important that all of us strive to fulfill the place in this body, or this body will not function as it should. We might know, we're just looking in the introduction, just in that second paragraph, look at it there, it says, we might know particularly that we have been gifted, all right, say, I have these gifts, I can sing, I can teach, I can greet, I can be cordial, I can see needs that other people don't see. I mean, these are all gifts that we have. I have great grace to be able to share with people. I have mercy to be able to share with people. Gifts that we have in each and every one of us, but we've been gifted, and that God has desire for His children. Many times, a child of God can allow their gifts to go unused. Many times, we're too busy in the things of this world. We're too busy at work. We're too busy, and we might say, "Well, I don't have time to really have my gifts used of God." Listen to me. You don't have time not to. Your life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a while, and it vanisheth away, and you're going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to give an account of yourself to the Lord. you better take account of that vapor and make sure that your gifts are being directed in the right way. It might mean that you don't make as much money as everybody else in the world. It might not mean that you don't have as much things as everybody else in the world. But understand with me, God desires, we looked at it this last Sunday in Matthew in chapter number 6, He reminds us that we cannot serve two masters. We can't serve God and mammon. We can't. We're not going to be able to allow ourselves to go after all the things of this world and go after the things of God. It's going to be impossible. But I promise you that when we stand before the Lord, we give an account of ourselves before God at the judgment seat of Christ. When we stand there, we're not going to want to stand there with excuses as to why we didn't do what God had called us to do. And you say, well, I just don't know what my gifts are. I don't know where God's gifts me. Then start showing up and get busy in everything you can and find out where you fit. No, honestly. See, I have no idea how to discern it. What I'm supposed to do and what most people do is they do nothing. Understand, so a lot of people, they just say, well, I don't know where I fit. I don't know what God wants me to do. So I'll just show up when I can. Until I know exactly where I fit, I'm going to be at everything. I'm going to be at visitation. I'm going to be there for Sunday school. I'm going to be there for this activity and that activity. I'm just going to go all in until I know exactly what God wants me to do. You say, well, what if I do something that I wasn't gifted to do? I think if you're saying, listen, Lord, I'm willing to do anything. Will you show me where I fit? I think God's probably able to figure out where you're supposed to fit in. And He'll probably be good at cluing you in. But when we just sit back and act like, it's just nothing I can figure out. I don't have time to figure it out. I'll just give in. Listen, then we're not giving God an opportunity to use us. And many times it is excuse that keeps us from attempting and accomplishing great things for God. But if we want to hear, well done, it will only come, I'm in that third paragraph there, it'll only come with faithful obedience to the leading of the Lord in our lives. Sometimes we're forced to admit that God knows, I know this is hard for us, God knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows what, when, where, and why. But don't forget this is that last sentence of that third paragraph. Don't forget, most importantly, who in every situation. There might be some circumstances when you stop and you say, well, I know the need, I can see the need, I can see something needs accomplished, but certainly God couldn't use me to accomplish it. God's going to use someone else. God's going to use a pastor. God's going to use Miss Rochelle. God's going to use Brother Daniel. God's going to use Miss Danielle. God's going to use Brother Choi. No. Might be that God wants to use you. And you say, well, God obviously doesn't know me that well. Is that going to be our excuse? Wait a minute. No, God couldn't be calling me to do such a thing. God wouldn't be laying on my heart to do such a thing. Because if God really knew me, come on, He knows you. And many times we're going to ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're going to ignore the directing of the Holy Spirit because we think, man, I don't want to make myself uncomfortable. I don't want to put myself in a place where I might be embarrassed. I don't want to get to a place where I might be out of my element. And you think, man, would God actually do that to somebody? Would God actually put somebody out of their element? Yes. Yeah, He does. It might be shocking to you, but I don't particularly enjoy getting up and talking in front of people. You say, well, man, you do it all the time and you don't seem to shut up. But I'm telling you, listen to me. It's not like I'm just telling you, I know a lot of preachers that are that way. They'd rather be where you're at. They just would. If my dad could live in the backside of the countryside and never see another soul in his life, my dad would be a happy man. He just would. But guess what? That's not what God called him to do. It's not. And you might say, well, this isn't my gift. I'm telling you, you need to be busy finding out what God's gifted you to do. And you may be involved in everything until He does show you what to do. Because, listen, God knows who you are and He knows what He's created you to do. And He knows where He wants you to be. Amen. He knows those things. He knows you. God's not sitting there and going, oh, you're right. Man, I just totally forgot that about your personality. Well, I forgot that. That's not who you are, is it? That's not the person you are. That would be maybe a little uncomfortable for you. But sometimes God makes us uncomfortable. Sometimes with my kids, I like to sometimes make them uncomfortable. I do. I'll stop. I got this from Brother Summerdorf many years ago before I ever even came here. He said, you know, sometimes it's good to just go in and stop your children from playing with their toys or stop them from watching a show or whatever they're doing and tell them, listen, you need to go and you need to take out the trash and you need it done right now or have some kind of a chore for them and see how they react. And if they pick up and have a fit and throw their toy on the ground, then listen to me. It shows that they're, even though they might get the job done, there's a lack of submission. And many times in our life, God might be pushing us a little bit out of our comfort zone, away from what we want to be doing and what He desires for us to do, just so we can find out whether there's a reality of our submission to Him or not. Whether it's something we feel gifted at, paragraph 4, whether it's something we feel gifted at, or it's the general will of God, for many believers, we must strive for faithful obedience. We must strive for faithful obedience. You understand with me, there are many that are gifted that aren't using their gifts. And there's always, I say this over and over and over again, there's always more of the Word of God that we know that we don't practice than what we practice. We know a lot more Bible truth than we ever put into practice in our daily practical lives. And God knows and loves you more than you love yourself. He is aware of your limitations. He is aware of your abilities. He governs both in accordance to His will, and He governs both of them in accordance to His will for your life. If God's leading you or pushing you something beyond what you think your limitations are, then friend, probably it's you that has a miscalculation of what your limitations are. I know it's not God. Are you with me? If you guys say, man, I just feel God's leading in this way, but I know God wouldn't, because that's just not something God would lead somebody like me to do. Well, guess who's wrong? Not the Holy Spirit of God. It's you and I that get wrong. It's you and I that get those things wrong. He governs in both our limitations and in our abilities. It's not God who limits His servants to minister, but we who limit God as to what ministry we are willing to do. Think about that. It's not God that limits our ability to minister, but we who limit God. And so tonight, I just want to look at the story of Moses here in the book of Exodus. If you'll find Exodus in chapter number 3. In Exodus in chapter number 3, we see a very familiar story. And just want to look at a few highlights from that story. Moses, again, is on the backside of the desert. He's feeding the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. In Exodus in chapter number 3, just begin reading with me in verse number 1. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, whether the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called. Amen. God called. Praise the Lord, the day God called on me. Amen. Unto him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw nigh hither, and put thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, and the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have truly seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and unto a place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee. I'm going to send you, Moses. You're the man for the job. And Moses said, thank you, Lord. I knew I was the right guy for the job. I knew I was gifted in such a special way. I just knew I had all the right abilities and talents, and I had the right stuff. No, that's not Moses' response at all. We probably, most of us know the story, but continue reading in verse number 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Man, I mean, what a job. Now we know the end of the story that history record. Even secular magazines, Time magazine, would record that if the biblical record is true, that Moses would be the greatest leader of all time. Moses, yeah. They don't want to assert that it is true, but they'll just make the statement that if the biblical record were to be true or is true, then Moses would become known as the greatest leader of all men of all time. But in the beginning, guess who didn't even want to attempt to lead? Moses. Wasn't willing to lead, didn't want to lead, Moses. And Moses begins to just throw questions, excuses, if you will, in God's face. Just begins to tell God all the reasons why he can't do what it is that God has told him he wants him to do. I don't know about you, but I think we could probably agree with Moses a little bit here, that we're good at coming up with excuses sometimes. Come on, I know I am. I'm good at coming up with excuses for why I can't do what it is I know God wants me to do. All right, me and Brother Gaby, we're the only ones that have ever come up with an excuse for why we can't do what we know God has called us to do. Here's the first excuse that he came up with. It's in Exodus 3, verses 11 and 12. He came up with this excuse. He said, God, I'm not adequate for the task. Look at verse number 11. He says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I mean, Lord, who am I? I'm nobody. I'm not adequate for that. I'm a shepherd on the backside of the desert. I don't even have my own flocks. I watch somebody else's flocks. I'm not cut out for this job. He was inadequate of himself. He didn't believe he could do the task or accomplish the task that God had called him to do. If you go over to Acts chapter 7, listen, Acts in chapter 7, though, in verse number 20, Acts 7, and I'm not going back in time. I have an error right there. I think it's supposed to be through 25. All right? So Acts 7, 20 through 15. Very good. Amen? But Acts chapter 7, look at verse number 20. And it says this, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came to pass in where? In his heart. It came to pass in his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Well, who put that there? I mean, who do you think was moving upon the heart of Moses that he would realize, listen, I am not an Egyptian, even though I'm learning all the ways of the Egyptians. I am not an Egyptian. My brethren are the people of Israel. Who put that on his heart? I believe that would have been God that would have ministered to his heart. Look at verse 24. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and he avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptians. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood how that God Listen to this. How that God by His hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Do you understand with me that before Moses ran away and spent 40 years on the backside of the desert, that Moses already understood what God's plan was for his life? No, come on. That Moses already understood what God was wanting to do. He thought everybody else would understand. And I know, we can look at the story and we say, well, Moses went about it the wrong way and Moses needed to go learn. But listen to me. Here Moses is standing here and saying, God, I'm not adequate. I can't do this job that you're asking me to do. And understand with me, Moses already knew that God had asked him to do the job. How many times have we led of the Holy Spirit, or we've quenched the Holy Spirit in our life, we've quenched the Holy Spirit from talking to us because we already knew what God wanted us to do. We already knew what we should be doing. We already knew what ministry we should be involved in. And we've said no so many times that we put ourselves on the backside of the desert, and when God speaks up again, we just say, no, God, that's not at all. I'm the wrong guy. I'm not adequate for this task. Listen, whom God calls, He equips. God calls, He equips. And Moses was the right guy for the job. And Moses knew in his heart that he was the right guy for the job. Moses had some disappointing times. Everything didn't go the way that Moses thought it would. Moses ended up in a bad position and ran away. By himself, he was inadequate and incapable to accomplish anything for God. That's very true. But look at verse number 12. Exodus chapter 3 and look at verse number 12. It says, and God said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. God was with him. So I'm not adequate for the task. And God said, yeah, I know you're not to go by yourself. You're not adequate for the task. But listen, Moses, I'm going with you. And I think it's aptly been said, one with God is a majority. Think about that just for a second. One with God is a majority. And when we have God with us, listen to me, my friend, you have everything you could possibly need to accomplish the task that He wants to accomplish through you. You have everything you need. God was with him. The deliverance of the people didn't depend, number one under B, didn't depend upon the ability of Moses. Listen, that which God wants to accomplish in your life, it doesn't depend upon your ability. It's in the ability of the God in whom we serve. And listen, He's capable of all things. We understand this, deliverance depended upon the presence and the power and the sufficiency of God. Not in the ability of Moses at all. None of what God had called him to do was Moses adequate for. But God was adequate for everything that God He wanted to do through the life of Moses. And the same is true for your life as well. When God selects people to serve His purposes, He always provides His resources for them to be successful. Always. My father-in-law, Pastor Brown, he always says, God pays for what He orders. God pays for what He orders. Listen, you are inadequate. Newsflash, if you didn't already know that, you're inadequate. But with God, you have all sufficiency. I'm not trying to be a prosperity preacher. I'm just telling us, in God, when we're walking in the will of God, and we're going to fulfill the will of God, and we're going to minister in the way God's called us to minister, listen, we have everything we possibly need to accomplish the task at hand. Second excuse Moses gave God, I don't know enough. Look at verse 13 and 14. It says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So, well, they're going to ask me questions I'm not going to know the answers to. I mean, they're going to. Moses was afraid that the Israelites would have these questions. He's. I don't even know. I don't even know how to answer them. Let's not divorce, number one, ourselves from thinking that we must have, or let us divorce ourselves from the thinking that we must have all the answers. That's where a lot of people, they're not going to, I couldn't teach a Sunday school class because I don't have all the answers. Well, I couldn't go out soul winning. I couldn't try to witness to anybody because what if they asked a question that I didn't know the answer to? Listen, the I Am has sent us. The all-sufficient God has sent us forth. He's given us and He's equipped us. And listen to me, no one has all the answers. Go to a doctor sometime. They're just practicing. They go through year after year of school and they're just practicing. They don't have all the answers. No, you can find the most intelligent person in this world will look to, and this most intelligent person, everybody say, man, he's got the IQ, and he's got all the knowledge, he's got all the training. I promise you, there's going to be some point, some time, that you're going to find out that guy doesn't have all the answers. Especially if he's given himself unto the wisdom of the world, I promise you, there are going to be a lot of answers from the Word of God that he does not have.
Yes.
Yeah. As a child of God, I can at least point people to a God that does have all the answers. Well, I'm nobody, and I don't know what I'm doing here other than the fact that the I Am has sent me forth for such a time as this. In response to Moses' concern, God revealed Himself as the I Am. I don't worry that you don't have. Don't worry that you don't have all the answers. Whatever we feel, whenever we feel that we are incapable, remember that He is the I Am. God is the I Am. So whether it's something you're saying, I'm just struggling using the gifts that God's given me, or I'm struggling being obedient in the general wills of God that I know for my life, listen to me. We have the I Am that lives in us.
Amen.
We have everything we need to accomplish His will. He is self-sufficient. He has all the answers. And remember, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3:19. We need to stop trying to worrying about what people are going to think about us. And we need to be showing people who He is. We get so wrapped up in what are they going to think about me? What's that individual? They're going to think I'm crazy. Listen. If you live life governed by the wisdom of God, and they live life governed by the wisdom of this world or the wisdom that is from below, then understand with me, of course they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you're foolish. The problem is that we're so much, many times wrapped up in so much of the world that we don't look at the wisdom of the world as if it is foolish. Now, and we're the ones that feel foolish because we are involved in some of the same things that this world's involved in, and unwilling to separate ourselves from the world, and unwilling to come out from the world and be ye separate. And so when we look at the ways of the world, we're looking at them as if they're just like us. And we are the ones that just look foolish. But if we'll separate ourselves unto God, knowing that He is all sufficient, listen to me, we're going to be looking at this world and going, man, these people are foolish. They need to meet my God.
Yeah.
Come on. Someone needs to introduce them to God.
Yeah.
Someone needs to introduce them to the I Am. Someone needs to do something about the fact that they're living and operating and abiding in foolishness. We're going to be about the work of God. Number three excuse that Moses gives. God's people won't believe me. Look at chapter number 4. It says in verse number 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. they're not going to believe anything I have to say. I mean, hey, I was in the backside of the desert, and there's this bush. I saw it. It wasn't consumed. And God spoke to me out of this bush. And I mean, come on, it sounds like a crazy story. They're not going to believe any of this. They're not going to believe, nor hearken, the Bible says, to my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. No. They're going to think I'm crazy. I can't go telling them these things. They won't believe me. Well, what if they call me a liar? What if they say I'm a crazy lunatic? What if, Lord? And many times the what ifs of life are what stop us from being obedient to the Lord. But listen to me, even though Moses was convinced that they would not believe him, look back at chapter 3 and verse number 18. Because God had already told them, look at verse 18 of chapter 3. And they shall hearken to thy voice. Moses didn't believe the promise of God. Moses didn't believe the word of God. Moses didn't have faith in what God had told him, because God, before we even get to chapter 4, had already said, Moses, listen to me. I'm calling you. I'm equipping you. And listen to me. They shall hear and hearken to thy voice. You are the right guy for the job. You have the right stuff to do this job. Besides, it wasn't Moses God wanted them to follow. It was him. Are you with me? God, they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to follow me. Well, listen to me, Moses. Yes, they will, number one, because they're not going to be following you. They're going to be following me. And many times we get so wrapped up in us, when we're just an insignificant tool that God's trying to use to point people to Him. And when we think this life and the things that God's called us to do and the will of God and the purposes of God and the plan of God, well, it's all about us. And I'm not trying to make us feel that God doesn't care about us. God cares about us very deeply, and He cares about us very much. But His ultimate purpose, listen to me, is that men might be able to be pointed unto Him. Yeah. It's His ultimate purpose. It's not about you. I know that breaks a lot of our egos. But life isn't about you. It's about Him. Amen. It's not about what you think. It's not about what you want. It's not about your comfort. Life is about Him. It's not about us. And it wasn't about Moses. It's what God was going to do through Moses. God gave them, He said, listen, Moses, you don't think this is going to work? I'm going to give you two very powerful signs to prove my power. Look what he says in verse number two. It says, then the Lord said unto him, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses lifted it up fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand. I mean, it would have been this point then where I would have checked out probably. And he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now look at what God says. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, and the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Listen, I'm going to give you a sign, I'm going to give you an ability that they will absolutely know and believe that it is I, God, who has spoken to you and is speaking by you. Then in verse number 6, he gives them another sign. The Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. I mean, how fun would that be? I mean, just, you know, and I mean, white as snow. I mean, that he has this leprous disease that was a death sentence in their day. And understand with me, God was going to have him put his hand in his bosom and pull his hand out again. In verse number 7, and he put thine hand into the bosom again, and he put his hand into the bosom again, and he plucked it out of the bosom, and behold, it was turned again as the other flesh. You say, well, what purpose is that going to do? Well, verse number 8, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to thy voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Listen, God said, listen, no, Moses, listen to me. I don't need you to go and prove anything to anybody. I'm going to go prove to them who I am. I just need you to go and be my mouthpiece. I just need you to go take the message. I just need you to step out by faith and do what I've called you to do. Guess what, Moses? I'm going to do all the work. Moses, you can't turn a rod into a serpent, but I can. Moses, you can't heal leprosy, but I can. Moses, you can't control nature, but I can. And then he has another excuse. Chapter 4 and verse number 10. God, I'm not good with words. Look at verse 10. This is probably the one we know the most. Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hereto, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. God, I don't speak well. I mean, I get tongue-tied. I stammer and I stumble and I stutter. Yep. But God had already answered his excuse. Look back at chapter number 3 and verse number 14. He says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am a sent thee. And the God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord thy God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. And this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord thy God of your fathers, and of Abraham, and of Isaac and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and have seen them that which Egypt has done to you, that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of the children of the land, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land that flows with milk and honey. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, God told him, listen, you don't need to come up with some flattering words, Moses. I don't need you to be fair of speech. I don't need you to come up with some speech. I've already told you what to say, Moses. It's not, I mean, we're not looking for the speech writers. I mean, you're going to have a team of speech writers. I've already told you what your speech is. All you got to go is say, listen, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he sent me and God's taken us out of Egypt. Let's go. The hand of God is delivering us from our bondage. God answered his excuse also, though, in verse number 11 and 12 of chapter 4. After he says, listen, I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Look at verse number 11 of chapter 4. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made thy man's mouth? Moses. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Okay, Moses, who made your mouth? You think I don't know your abilities, Moses? You think I don't know what you're capable of? I don't know what your inabilities are? No, Moses, who made your mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses, here's your message, and just so you're underwearing, I made your mouth, and I'm going to put the right words there when they need to be there, Moses. You just need to go. You just need to be willing to go. But then sadly, verse number 13, we see our fifth excuse. Look at what it says. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Lord, send somebody else. Come on, Lord, I'm not willing. God, I'm not volunteering for this. I don't want to do this. There's nothing in me that has a desire to do this. I don't want to go. I'm not willing. And that's the heart of the problem, isn't it? I mean, we can come up with excuse after excuse after excuse for why we're not willing to use our gifts for God, or to fulfill the general known will of God in our lives. We can come up with all sorts of excuses. God offered both promises and provision for each excuse Moses made, but Moses was unwilling to be used, and that gets right down to the heart of the problem, was a problem of Moses' heart. That even though he knew in his heart what God wanted him to do, he wasn't going to do it. And he did not desire to do it. I don't want to. Listen to me, I don't want to is going to be a useless excuse when you stand before the Lord one day. Well, I just didn't feel led. Baloney. Baloney. I'm telling you, if you're a child of God, then there are things God's led you to do. There are. There are things God's called you to do. And you're going to stand before him and just say, I didn't know when you spoke to my heart. No, you can run for 40 years from what you know God wants you to do. But God's heart and God's mind and God's will for your life does not and has not changed. And he still has the ability to equip you today just like he did 40 years ago, Moses. if you simply be willing to allow God to use you. We are simply unwilling to step out by faith and obey God many times. Look at the conclusion, we'll be done. What excuse do you make when God calls? When God says, listen, I want this out of your life, you just say, no, I'm sorry, I'm too busy right now. I don't have time right now. God, I'm not willing to stop doing this so I can give attention to that. What excuse? What excuse are we, I'm not talking about what excuse we give now. I'm talking about what excuse are you going to feel comfortable one day and put yourself in the reality of the situation that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Live in that reality. And then tell me, what excuse is it that you're willing to offer to God for why you're not being obedient, or in some area of your life, inobedient and unwilling to be surrendered to Him? What is that excuse going to be? I'm telling you, if it sounds weak here, come on, if it sounds like an excuse now, I'm telling you what, it's going to be a shame there. It's going to be a shame there. Moses was just, well, I'm too old. Moses is 80. I mean, come on. I'm just too old. I don't got nothing left. Moses was 80, and God was going to have him serve for another 40 some years. Yeah. Well, He's going to use him still. You say, well, I'm just too young. Well, Jeremiah said, God knew me in the womb. I don't know. I mean, it's pretty young. I don't know. I'm telling you, we could come up with excuse after excuse after excuse. But at the end of the day, what it all boils down to is, do I have a willingness to be obedient to God or not? Am I willing to surrender and yield my will, my life, my ambitions, my goals, my gifts, my fears, my insufficiencies, my inadequacies? Am I willing to yield those all over to God or not? God has a plan to use you and I. Here's the question, though. Are we willing to be a part of God's plan? Are we willing? Let's have our heads bowed, our eyes closed today.